You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
We are getting reports from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission that they believe the levels of radiation at the Fukushima plant in Japan are more dangerous than the Japanese government has indicated, and they are advising that anyone who's within a 50-mile radius of that plant evacuate. They've also started chartering flights for Americans who want to leave Japan. Joining us now from a suburb west of Tokyo is Kelly Williams, an American originally from Seattle. Kelly, at this point, you're in a suburb west of Tokyo. How far from the Fukushima plant do you think you are?
I think we're probably 220, 230 kilometers away.
So are you worried?
We're worried about the radiation, of course, and the mood in the city is, of course, everyone's quite concerned about the radiation.
Do you feel like you're getting the whole story from the Japanese government, that you can trust the reports coming from Japanese officials?
I'm afraid they don't inspire a lot of confidence with the answers in the news conferences. There's a lot of confusion and half-answers that I think have put not only foreigners in Japan on edge, but Japanese on edge.
So you must have listened carefully to the comments coming from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Committee, and I'm wondering if you're considering evacuating the country, taking one of these chartered flights.
Well, for me, it's not an option to consider leaving at this point. I have a fiancé who's Japanese, and while she has a passport and can travel, we also have to consider her parents and extended family here, and don't feel right leaving the country and leaving them here to deal with it.
All right, but would you, I mean, it sounds as though you in some ways wish that option were open.
I do. If it was possible to move the entire family farther away from the radiation, I would certainly like to do that. And we are looking at the prospect of moving most of the family members to Osaka if things continue to deteriorate.
That's Kelly Williams, originally from Seattle, an American now in the suburb west of Tokyo. Kelly Williams, thank you so much.
Torn there between needing and wanting to stay in the country and not abandon, but to protect the family within, you know, in the midst of these conflicting reports that are coming from the Japanese government on the risks of a danger from the Fukushima plant. But for people caught in the tsunami devastation, the risks are very, very clear, and it doesn't require any comments from the Japanese government to understand that more fully. There are more than 8,500 people missing. Almost 4,500 people are known to have died. The number of dead is expected to increase much higher. Dead or missing has passed 15,000 this morning. And this is not just a story of those who've passed. The survivors are looking for signs of their loved ones. It's a painstaking, difficult process in the midst of cold weather and snow and rain. The BBC's correspondent Damian Grammaticus is reporting now from the city of Sendai.
Every hour they add more. Coffin after coffin. Lost life after lost life. Brought to a bowling alley that now functions as a makeshift mortuary. The terrible reckoning of this disaster tallied in lists that the living scan with dread. Tetsuya Suzuki came here today, searching among the names for his wife Izumi.
People who went missing and were found dead, their bodies are here. I've come to see if she's one of them or not.
What he knows is that Izumi was at home and, as the tsunami approached, leapt in the car to escape with the couple's two children.
This is as far as Izumi Suzuki got. She jumped out of her car in front of a cousin's house here. They could see the tsunami coming in, sweeping over from the sea up this road. And she ran across here, trying to reach another cousin's house because it's built of steel. She had her children in her arms. When she got here, she got as far as the step. She handed them up to relatives. The children were taken inside. They were safe, but she was swept away down the road and carried away by the water.
The house the children found refuge in is one of the few things left standing here. Tatsuya is convinced his wife survived this somewhere. Her name wasn't on the lists of the dead, so now he's trying the lists of the living, those who made it to the shelters. But there's no Izumi Suzuki here either.
I've been coming here every day since the earthquake. Until now, I have no information about my wife.
And there's scant idea, too, of the true toll. How many thousands were swept away like Izumi? Today, snow started falling, making the job of finding them even harder. Izumi Suzuki's children are now safe in a car repair shop. It's their temporary home with their father.
The kids keep smiling every day. They say, let's go and find mummy today. Then they say, if not today, we'll find her tomorrow. It's what gives me strength to keep on looking for her.
And as he keeps searching, two-year-old Hibiki and his six-year-old sister Hikaru sit and wait for mummy to come home.
A heartbreaking report there from the BBC's correspondent Damian Grammaticus in the city of Sendai, where the stories accumulate. That story there, just almost impossible to bear. A woman rushing from one home to a car, taking her children to a steel house. She gets the children to safety and is swept away. Those stories accumulating as the recovery and rescue effort continues in Japan. If you have questions about what's going on in Japan, 877-8-MY-TAKE. If you'd like to be a part of the rescue and recovery effort, you can go to thetakeaway.org, where we can direct you to places where you can be a part of the donations and the help for the people of Japan. Any questions? Or if you have a story like Damian Grammaticus told from the city of Sendai, give us a call or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.